It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
It is DFS time. Welcome back, everybody. Week number six here is the Fade the Chalk podcast, presented, of course, by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer here for the week six game-by-game breakdown. Shortest slate of the year so far. First week with byes, I believe three teams are on bye. We have another London game, and then obviously some primetime games. So there's only 10 games on the slate. There's, once again, a lot of injuries. And to help break everything down and sort it all out, Elliot Crist from FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. Amazing man. Glad and happy to work for him and glad to have him back on the podcast. He was on this DFS episode last year, and it was a great time. So I had to get him back on again. Elliot, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Adam? I appreciate you having me on. This is a fantastic podcast. And like you said, it's the shortest slate of the year. We have the London game. They should probably stop sending the worst teams in the NFL to London if they're trying to expand.
It's unreal, too. It's every year. It's every year.
But that game at least will have some fun pace. I think that game's entertaining from a fantasy betting and DFS standpoint, but obviously not on the main slate. And, you know, you mentioned, and this is going to happen every week now until the end of the season. You're going to need to push more and more of your stuff to later and later in the week because there's just so much unknown. Like you mentioned pre-show that there's potential wind gusts in Cleveland above 20 miles per hour. And 20 miles per hour is typically that cutoff point. But weather changes so much, right? Like we don't have any idea if that's going to actually be the case by the time it comes around Sunday. So it'll be interesting. And, you know, that's why FTN has so much in-depth coverage from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, covering every single aspect of the slate.
Yeah, and like speaking of FTN coverage, like this is probably the best time of the year for sports, I would say, right? You have football in full swing, playoff baseball, hockey just started, basketball is about to start. Like this is the best time to be a sports fan, and it's also probably the best time to be, you know, a member or subscriber of FTN because we have coverage for every sport. I mean, we've been having those NBA specials for the packages, which comes with everything, right? The optimizer projections, roster percentages, obviously the content and stuff. Like it's such a great time regardless, right? Whatever sport you are most interested in, we're going to have you covered at FTN. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's really nothing we don't cover, right? College football, college basketball starts soon. And, you know, on the FTN bet side, like we have a package that's very, very affordable that covers every single sport. You could buy one. You want to follow my NFL picks? Well, you also get Chris Meany's NHL picks, right? So last night was a slow night.
Which are ridiculous.
Yeah, and Meany just crushes. So to your point, there's never a slow period in the sports world, but this is the time of year that everything is really picking up and hitting full swing.
Yeah, it's exciting times. And happy to be part of it. Like I said, I'm excited for basketball as well. Hockey just started. Meany's doing a bunch of great stuff. He has his new show out that I believe premiered. I know it was on today, but I believe it premiered the other day with Eric Young. It is Dangle Bet Selly, which is awesome. I mean, Meany's hockey picks are just undefeated. So check that out. Check out all the great content and tools and packages we have at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. Elliot, let's get to the slate, man. Like you said, you tweeted out a screenshot this afternoon, again, recording this on Thursday, and it was just a bunch of questionable tags. And that's what we're going to see for a lot of this, the rest of this week, right? And this first game, I believe, is like one of the few games where there's really not much. Houston at Indianapolis starts off the slate. We do have a potential return or debut of T.Y. Hilton, but and it's tough, too, because obviously hasn't played, has been on injured reserve with the neck. He could return and make his debut here. Of course, it's against Houston. So, like, even if he plays 10 snaps, he's probably going to score twice because that's what he does against Houston. But jokes aside, what do you make of this game? And is it as obvious as after what we saw last week, Jonathan Taylor and even Michael Pittman? Michael Pittman is, like, top 10 in targets since week two. He's been very kind of steady, and especially on both sides, actually. FanDuel, he is way too cheap. I think he's like 5'7", and on DraftKings, he's very affordable, too, at 5,500.
Yeah, I mean, I love that we go game by game because the player-by-player aspect is probably the wrong approach of DFS at this point. It's really, there's so much game theory, and you're trying to get...
Yeah, I've always, since I've done like podcasts for NFL. I've always done game by game, and that's for every sport too, basketball, baseball, whatever.
Yeah, it's just you really want to find what games you want to attack and have those pieces. And then so like if you do like Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman and you want to play both those guys in the lineup, you really should run it back with Brandon Cooks, because for them both to hit their ceiling, someone on the other side probably needs to do something. Or like you're building onslaughts, right? So, and that's what the optimizer at NFL or FTN Daily is so good at, right? Like these are whenever I build 60 max, obviously it's 150 max, but I build 60 lineups and I always kind of eliminate it immediately to no more than 5 quarterbacks. And this way, if I get the quarterbacks right, then I'm going to have enough of those pieces in most games where I can have some opportunities to reach the top of the leaderboard. I love Brandon Cooks in this spot. Now, Cooks has been quiet the last couple weeks, right? Against the Patriots, who are notorious for taking away the top option and going to Buffalo. Buffalo has one of the best defenses in football. I don't think we anticipated that coming into the year, but
I did.
That game, you don't count.
I swear I did, though. I told Debro this, and he wasn't on it. I got a lot wrong this year already, but that was one thing.
Everyone gets a lot wrong. Everyone gets a lot right. Yeah. Like that's life. That's sports. But what I would say is that weather game, like Davis Mills looked like he didn't even know what to do with himself. But you're looking at a guy with 50% of the air yards and the third highest target share in football at 5,500, right? And we know he's a big play guy, and that kind of usage is a 10-point underdog against a Colts team that is bottom five DVOA against the deep ball. We just saw a similar player in Marquise Brown absolutely torch them, and Davis Mills looks like he's getting more and more comfortable week to week in the NFL. Now, Davis Mills still stinks, but he's going to lock in on Brandon Cooks. So Cooks is probably my favorite player. I will say the other aspect of DFS that it makes it tough when we record a Thursday show. I have no idea what the actual ownership projections are going to look like, right? Like sometimes you see them early in the week and you're like, oh, how is this guy so chalky? And then by the time Sunday rolls around, he's 2 or 3%. So if Cooks got popular, I would probably get off him. Jonathan Taylor, listen, every running back against the Texans ever is popular. And Taylor, you know, we saw the touchdown regression. He hit that 76-yard reception or 75, whatever exactly it was. But that's not going to happen every time. But we know he's a big play guy. We know he's game script independent, which is exactly what we're looking for. They are going to mix in Mac and they are going to mix in Nyheim Hines. But Taylor's going to get his in a good spot. And like you mentioned, Pittman's usage is just elite. And I think he's historically struggled more against zone than man coverage, not really worried about anything the Texans do. They're bottom of the barrel at everything defensively. So I wouldn't look at any quarterbacks. Those are kind of the only guys that I'm interested in this game.
Yeah, it's very weird because over the past couple of years, the Colts have been, they play a heavy zone and they really just keep everything in front on defense. And that just hasn't happened this year. This is a team going into the year that's like you don't get a lot of big passing plays against them, and that's just completely fallen off this year. I mean, like you mentioned, they're giving up 11.6 yards per completion. They just got absolutely destroyed by the deep ball last week. It's been a reoccurring theme for them, and they actually right now are allowing the highest passing touchdown rate at just over 9%. So Brandon Cooks, who a lot of people were on obviously the first couple weeks of the season, but it's like that usage has still been there outside of last week. And again, that's, you know, they have J.C. Jackson, who's shadowed a handful of times this year. It's Belichick, and that probably has a lot to do with it. And even in the Bills game, right, obviously the Texans did nothing on offense. But whatever they did, like Davis Mills had like 50, 60 passing yards or whatever in that game. Cook still had the majority of the yards they did get in that game, right? Like Mills had 87 passing yards against the Bills, and then Cooks had 47 of those receiving yards. So it's like outside of the last game, the usage has still been as high as it's been all year, and it's a much better matchup, and you can clearly go, you know, say you love Taylor in this game, and you think he's going to get 20 carries and the Colts roll at home, easy bring back with Brandon Cook. So I think he's very sneaky in this game, and I feel like if you really like Pittman and you want to play him in tournaments, you kind of hope T.Y. Hilton plays, because I don't think Hilton's going to be a full-time player his first game back, but I agree. It's really those three, or sorry, four, Cooks, Pittman, Taylor. No, that's it. Those three. Cooks, Pittman, and Taylor. Not playing any tight ends in this game. Though Mo Ali Cox could be interesting in a couple weeks if he starts to separate more from Jack Doyle. But other than that, that's kind of it for me from this game. Anything else?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. No, honestly, that stuff.
All right. Let's go to the Packers traveling to Chicago to take on the Bears. Really, not much injury-wise here. Allen Robinson was limited or didn't practice on Wednesday with an ankle. We'll see if he's fine. Not that anybody has confidence playing him anyway. I feel like these Packers games have been kind of easy, right? It's like Rodgers and Adams are ridiculous. Davante Adams' usage is like just absurd right now. I mean, he's going to get his against anybody. You can play him if you want. He's expensive, but he's expensive for good reason. He's one of the best players in the league. Aaron Jones is kind of interesting because in week four against Pittsburgh, he had 15 carries. A.J. Dillon also had 15 carries, but they were kind of, you know, salting that game away late. Jones has been limited in practice the last 2 weeks with an ankle. He's going to play, but maybe it's bothering him to the point where Dillon's getting more work. And then Dillon gets, 12 touches again last week. And then after the game, head coach Matt LaFleur comes out and says he wishes he got Dillon the ball even more and that they really feel confident in him in the passing game. So what do we make of this game? Let's start with the Packers. And like, I guess we can talk about the backfield. Like, is that the recent usage of A.J. Dillon have you off Aaron Jones, or does it make him even more appealing in tournaments potentially?
Aaron Jones has been the same player for like 3 years, and every year we do the same thing with him, right? Like, and the funniest thing is last year he crushed in week two against Detroit. He caught 3 touchdown passes that game. That's you talk about an outlier performance. Other than that, he scored 18 or less DK points in every single game. I don't really play him as a higher end guy because snaps and weighted opportunity are the two greatest predictors of running backs. He's always expensive. He's always fairly popular. And A.J. Dillon has stepped right into the Jamal Williams role, if not greater. So I don't really play Aaron Jones. Sometimes when he's sub 5%, I'll have some interest in him. Davante Adams, to your point, he was the chalkiest player on the slate last week. Obviously went over 200 yards, just absolutely broke the slate. His usage is insane. His ceiling is insane. His player prop right now is 97 receiving yards. That's the highest I've ever seen. It's
still feels
and it's well. Hard. And honestly, to your point, the Packers are pretty simple. Like last year was Robert Tonyan too, a little bit, but he's not involved at all. Mm-hmm. I basically play Davante Adams. Sometimes I'll stack him with Aaron Rodgers, but 99% of the time I want it to be at home, right? Because Rodgers,
they're my least favorite team for DFS for like in terms of like entertainment analysis purposes for the podcast, because it's like you can play Rodgers and Adams against anybody. They don't throw to anybody else. Their next highest receiver and targets is either the running backs or Randall Cobb right now. And yeah, like Robert Tonyan is not a thing. He has Robert Tonyan has one game over 8 yards.
Which is kind of a joke with how good he was last year too.
But I know
MBS was the guy that was always a little interesting because his air yard share was absurd, right? And Rodgers just kept missing him. And then he finally scored against San Francisco, not on a main slate, and got hurt. On the other side of the ball, because like you said, like it's play Davante Adams and move on with your life. Because Rodgers isn't going to make this is a divisional game between two slow teams and a run-heavy Bears team.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be a ton of play volume. The Packers play incredibly slow as well. The Bears, I think, are 1-4 to the over this year. So that those games have been going under. It's already a low total. The one Bear receiver that has interest to me is Darnell Mooney at 43.
Damn right he does.
32% of the air yards, 28% of the targets. You just don't get that kind of workload against at 4.3K.
This is a bad week for value receivers too. Like at least right now,
25th DVOA against wide receiver twos, and we can argue all we want, but he's the wide receiver two on the team, right? Like Allen Robinson is the number one receiver, and there's no Jair Alexander's the one guy you would be concerned with, and guys like Kevin King have really struggled with players like Darnell Mooney.
Yep.
So Mooney would probably, because I don't, again, we're not even looking at roster percentages at this point. It's too early in the week. But Mooney's probably going to be the best way to make Davante Adams' teams different.
Yeah, the frustrating part is, like, the Bears are calling run at the third highest rate in the NFL behind the Saints and Browns. It's like 52%. Regardless, they're just, you know, they're not even running with Justin Fields either, which is annoying. But, like, we just saw last week, they had a lead for the majority of the game. I don't know if that's going to be the case here, but, like, Khalil Herbert and Damian Williams both had 18 touches. Like, I don't think that's going to happen in this game. But either way, like, since Bill Lazor's taken over play calling, when they do throw, they're taking more shots down the field. We saw it in Fields' first start against the Lions, where Mooney had a 40% target share, had, like, an 18 ADOT. So he's going to be getting deep targets. And Andy Dalton, he's barely played this year, but he didn't have a single target of 20 yards or more in his action this year. And Fields had 6 in his first start. in the first game with Bill Lazor, and then they were, you know, again, they were a lead for both of those games. If they get behind here, like, and they have to throw 35 times, Mooney can walk into easily, because he's in every, like, he's a 90% snap guy every game, and he can walk into 8 to 10 targets at 4,300. Like you said, I think Kevin King didn't practice today, but I kind of hope he plays, right? Like you said, Kevin King has really struggled against these speedy, smaller receivers that can beat you deep. Just look at
the exact 4.3K you got kind of guy you want, right? Like sub 5% ownership, big playability, high snap count, legit role in the offense with a 20% target share is really good. The issue with Darnell Mooney is that the Bears throw the ball like it's 1912. Like, if I could call plays for the Bears, Darnell Mooney would be the greatest receiver in the history of.
Oh yeah, that's fact.
And I'm not even saying like I would call every play for Darnell Mooney. I wouldn't, right? I would call a lot of play, but like Justin Fields would throw the goddamn. Oh, I was about to say something wild, but he would throw the football, right? Like, it's just so frustrating to watch them play. They aren't aware of what century it is. They think old school. We protect our young quarterback by not letting him throw, but meanwhile that destroys his confidence because you're saying you don't have confidence in him. Fields should be a fantasy football superstar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Matt Nagy's what you got. So sorry, I almost lost it there. I had to catch myself. I know this is a family show.
Listen, man. But me and Debra have been very, very vocal about the Bears because we have, like, Justin Fields, legit one of my favorite prospects in a long time. So I'm like, I want Justin Fields to just do all the things. And it is frustrating watching the Bears really limit him. But I agree. Like, the only Bear I'm looking at is probably Mooney. I mean, the running backs, like, it was Damon Williams had, I think, 3 of the 4 carries inside the 5. So that's good. But like, but the pass routes were even. It's not Herbert the situation I want to target. Yeah, he played a ton.
Like, you were like, oh, we get Belkow, Damon Williams. And immediately you're like, welp. And yeah. The touchdown saved him.
Yeah, and you don't have to go there on this slate because there's a different D. Williams. It's like the same price or cheaper. So
to be honest, there's 2 Williams on the slate that are 5K and less that are very, very attractive.
Yeah, that
we'll talk about him in a little bit. But
we talked about him a lot on the trade podcast. So I'm all in on him being awesome. So, but I agree, this game's not that. I think it's going to be slow as well. The Bears are going to run the football and try to, you know, keep Rodgers and Adams off the field, and then when Rodgers and Adams on the field, they're going to play slow and just dominate, and it's kind of an easy game. This game, though, very intriguing. Kansas City at Washington. I mean, you have a matchup here between the two teams that are 32nd and 31st, or dead last and last, in points per drive allowed. The Chiefs allow the most points per drive in the NFL, Washington's second most. You look at opposing drives, right? 54.2% of drives against the Chiefs lead in points, highest rate in the league. Just over 52% of drives against Washington lead in points, second highest rate in the league. These defenses cannot stop anybody. And then you have probably a pissed off, motivated Chiefs offense coming to town, hopefully at full strength. We'll see about Tyreek Hill. I mean, what is there not to like about this game?
It's going to be popular.
That's fair.
I mean, that from a DFS,
especially even more so on a 10-game slate.
Yeah, that's the answer, right? Like, Washington games are going over the total by an average of 11.8 points per game. That is absurd. Like, Washington's defense is the biggest, like, fake good unit that I can think of. Like, I'm legit trying to think back in the last 10 years where someone, they were like the number one defense off the board in fantasy football. Also, Chase Young has been incredibly overrated in his young NFL career. We talk about him as if he's a top 5 defender in the NFL, or that he's Myles Garrett, and he's just not at this point. He flashes brilliance, but teams are not blitzing the Chiefs this year, which is kind of that's where Mahomes absolutely murdered people. Him and Travis Kelce should have a monster game. The thing about the Chiefs is, right, they're always priced up. So the hardest part is that they're priced up, especially in a position at tight end where every other tight end on the slate is a punt, basically, if you don't play Travis Kelce. Daryl Williams is going to step in for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think, what did he play? Like, it was like 24-4 snaps with Jerick McKinnon when CEH left the game. He's going to get used in the pass game situation. He's going to get used near the goal line. Washington's run defense is bad. I really like Daryl Williams. He's going to be one of the chalkier guys on the slate. Running back is a position where I'm always willing to eat chalk more than wide receiver. Because wide receivers
this game this game in general, like super, like Travis Kelce and Ricky Seals-Jones are going to be the two most popular tight ends of the slate without question. Like
JD McKissick is a guy that, depending on his ownership, I would have a lot of interest in as a pivot. Some chalk because we've seen him.
Gibson's not going to play if they get behind. It happened against Buffalo. He didn't play. Like what the Bills did to this Washington offense, the Chiefs could easily do. And if that's the case, and they go up, you know, 35-17 or 35-20, it's going to be a lot of McKissick.
McLaurin will be very popular as well.
Yep.
Right. I mean, he busted against the Saints, but he had 11 targets.
He's averaged 11.2 targets per game in Taylor Heineke's four starts with a 31.9% target share. Heineke is dropping back and looking to immediately to Terry McLaurin. He's not even looking anywhere else.
Which is what he should do.
Right.
Of course he should. Samuel's
not going to play. Yeah.
There's not really another option on this team, right? Dyami Brown was a guy that a lot of people were excited about, but has done absolutely nothing. So McKissick, I think, is how you get contrarian. If you think Washington could win this game, and, you know, it sounds insane to say, but the Chiefs have been one of the worst teams against the spread. Like, they just continue to get inflated every week by the public. So Gibson is a guy where Washington could keep this game close, and then he could be really intriguing. Travis Kelce obviously has the highest ceiling of any tight end. Taylor Heineke is probably going to be the most popular cheap quarterback of the week, right? As everyone flocks to him. I mean, he's 5,800. He's going to be very popular. Honestly, I'll probably be underweight on this game because the game's going to be so popular on a 10-game slate.
Right. It's not even just the fact that it's, you know, two terrible defenses and the Chiefs offense. Like, that alone makes it popular. But it's also the fact that you have the value, premier value tight end in the slate, and then everybody's going to play Kelce on every slate, especially now that he's down to 7K.
Yeah.
And then you have the fact that it's a 10-game slate, like you said, and we have a running back injury that presents an opportunity for value at running back on the best offense or one of the best offenses in football. So it's just, it is going to be very popular, but for obviously good
it's
reasons.
It's going to lead to the same builds. You're 100% right. Like, you either have the value tight end, right? So then you get Kelce. The pay-up guys, or they have the top tight end. So then the chalky values will be put in that build. I won't ignore this game. Like, Mahomes will be one of my five quarterbacks that I run in the 60 lineups. But, like, I don't know if he'll be one of my three max quarterbacks at this point.
I mean, and then I guess, like, so Tyreek hasn't practiced in 2 days now. He had the quad contusion. I was watching the game, obviously, against Buffalo. It happened in the towards the end of the second or towards the end of the first half, where it was on the play. Remember that play, if you're watching, where they Kelce went under center and then Tyreek went under center?
Yeah.
That was the play it happened. Tyreek came in motion and he ran into one of the Bills linebackers, and then he kind of slightly limped off, and then he came back and finished the game. So, like, for me, I think they're probably just giving him the rest, and he'll either practice some capacity Friday then play. But then if he doesn't play, then you get potentially chalky Mecole Hardman and stuff like that.
I'm not playing chalky Mecole Hardman.
That's the one area where it's like, okay, now if he's chalk, that's kind of intriguing, because even Mecole Hardman in games where Tyreek and Watkins in the past were both out, he still can easily dud.
He almost always duds. Every time Mahomes throws him the ball, they look like they could not be on more of a different page. Mahomes is always talking to him after, even when they complete the pass. Like, bro, you went too high up, you cut too low, like, whatever it is. It's just, he's not the kind, he's also such a boom or bust guy that when people go heavy on him, you just avoid him. It's just kind of what you have to do. That doesn't mean play 0% if you're going to play 150 lineups, right? But, like, if you're going to do a 3 max, he's a guy you could pretty easily fade.
I mean, would you sprinkle in any Josh Gordon or Byron Pringle if Tyreek's out? I don't think Tyreek's going to be out, to be honest.
No, I'd be shocked if he's out, to be honest. Yeah,
especially because the Chiefs, like, this isn't the Chiefs where they're 4-1. Like, they're 2-3. Like,
they need this game.
Right. And again, like, Tyreek finished the entire game after. Like, I would be pretty surprised if Tyreek sat. And then, like, Ricky Seals-Jones is going to be super chalky, but it's hard not to if you're not playing Kelce, because it's hard to find value tight ends that you feel good about. But, like, his usage was insane without Logan Thomas. He played all but one snap. He ran around on 42 of Heineke's 48 dropbacks. He had 8 or 9 targets. He had 3 end zone targets. And now he faces a Chiefs team that has allowed a touchdown to consecutive tight ends in back-to-back games, and they allowed the 7th most fantasy points per game to tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to typically I play Kelce or I play a tight end in a game stack. So how do I get away from Ricky Seals-Jones? I don't play Taylor Heineke, right? And, like, one guy that jumps out to me, we can talk about him in a little bit, but Jared Cook against Baltimore at 3,200. And I understand he only had one target last week, but Baltimore's been abysmal to tight ends this year as well.
Oh, we just got some news that we have to keep an eye on from the last game. Damian Williams just got placed on the reserve COVID list. So,
Damian Williams did? Welp?
Yeah.
Khalil Herbert time, right?
Yeah. So, obviously, we'll have to see.
What is he priced at? I did not look at him. I apologize.
Khalil Herbert is 46.
I saw 7,300 for a second because I was looking at Justin, and I was like, oh, my God.
They knew. Sorry, so we'll have to keep an eye on that for sure.
That's another guy that if he becomes chalk, like, because the next game we're about to talk about, like, Booker is a guy that you could move off of if you're not. Him as well, J.D. McKissick, Javonte Williams, Darrell Williams. It'll be really interesting slate.
Let's move on to this next game. Giants at home against the Los Angeles Rams. The Giants completely banged up right now, and it continues, right? Barkley's obviously not going to play. Daniel Jones sounds like he's trending towards playing. Limited practice, concussion protocol. Looks like they're optimistic that Daniel Jones will play. And then Galladay's going to be out, and the rest of the receivers are all limited all week, all with injuries, right? Tony with the ankle, he's going to play. He's fine, but he's limited. And then Shepard and Darius Slayton have now been limited with the hamstrings and back-to-back practices, so they're trending towards playing too. Let's start with where you let off, Devontae Booker. 5,400 on DraftKings. He handled 19 touches, played like 88% of the snaps in Barkley's absence last week. You can kind of run on the Rams. What do you think of Booker? How popular will he be? And is it kind of worth it? Because he's going to get like 90%. Like, he's going to get like the workload that Darrell Henderson had been getting the first couple weeks of the season on the other side of this game, like 90% snaps, 90% running back touches.
Yeah, Henderson's a guy that's interesting too. It's at 6K, yes. It's a 10-point favorite, right? And he's seen elite usage. Last week didn't really get – I was shocked he didn't get more work in the passing game against the Seahawks team that was allowing like 80 yards per game to running backs, but they didn't really need to do it. Henderson might be the best value running back on the slate at 6K. 6,300, DeAndre Swift is also pretty interesting. Joe Mixon, if he's healthy. There's a couple guys. But anyway, Booker is one of those guys that his ownership will 100% dictate whether or not I'm interested in him. Because, you know, snaps and weighted opportunity sound like the simplest thing in the world. Like, are you on the field and are you getting the ball? And then we're weighing targets more than carries, right? Because I think 2.5, a target's worth 2.5 as much in PPR formats as it is as a carry is. So if you start to play 90% of snaps, it's like, remember Najee Harris the first couple weeks was literally doing nothing from a yardage perspective, but just kept getting 20 points because he was on the field the whole time and they kept using him. And like, Giants showed that with Booker last week, even against the Dallas team, that's been a pretty good run defense, right? We talked a little pre-show about how good the Bucks run defense is. And then you look at the Cowboys, it's the second. Now, some of that is because of how much their offense puts up the ball and the fact that the Eagles ran like twice against them. But anyway, right? Like, I just think Booker is a really interesting guy. And then a Rams onslaught makes so much sense here. This Giants defense is bad. This is one of those games where people end up ignoring the Rams. And I understand it's a trip across the country, 1 p.m. for a West Coast team. But Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Matthew Stafford, Darrell Henderson. I'm going to want a lot of those things mixed in because Stafford's got they will keep hitting you over the head. And they're a team that could drop 40 plus points this week.
Yeah, I love a Rams onslaught here for sure. And by the way, can I just say I'm very glad that we recorded this at the time we did instead of earlier because we're getting hit with news right now. I'll get to it in a minute cuz it's in regards to the next game that I just saw. But yeah, I love Henderson here. I think he's going to go overlooked because there is value-ish running backs in that 5K, like low or high fours, mid 5K range. I think he could go overlooked. And we last saw him on a primetime island game, right? And what did we see? Yeah, he was good, but he got banged up again. And Sony Michel played more than we would have liked. But a lot of that came in that one drive at the end of the first half where Michel dominated and played the whole drive because Henderson was getting looked at on the sideline. And then Henderson came in the second half and kind of dominated again. Not to the extent of what it was in the first half of the year where it was 90% snaps and everything, but he's looked good every time he's been on the field this year. He's in one of the best offenses in football. He's facing a Giants team allowing 4.7 yards per carry, and they're stuffing 9% of carries at or behind the line of scrimmage. That's the lowest rate in the NFL. I love Darrell Henderson here. I think he's going to go very overlooked. And like you said, yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, you know what you're getting from them. Obviously, pairing with Stafford against a bad Giants defense. I wish he was a little bit cheaper, but like this could be a get-right spot potentially for Higbee. The Giants have been awful against tight ends. Nobody's going to play Higbee, especially given the kind of state of the tight end position on the slate. So I'm with you. I really like the Rams offense here. As for the secondary, go ahead.
I was gonna say I'll put a rule in the optimizer that have at least two Rams players of Robert Woods. I won't play Jackson. This is not the kind of game you play DeSean Jackson in, right? They kind of reserve him for the big ones. I'll have a little bit of Van Jefferson, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, and Darrell Henderson.
I'll tell you what, man, Jefferson, you could do a lot worse at that 3,400 than Van Jefferson. He's seen like 4 to 6 targets every game. And
they're big targets, too.
Right. They're downfield, or they're like, he had one he dropped that could have been a touchdown last week. It was like he caught it at the one. He could have fell in the end zone, but he dropped it. Like, you could do a lot worse than him on this slate. I agree. It's a good call. For the Giants receivers, right? Like, what do we think they do? Because if they move Sterling Shepard back to the perimeter, it's bad news. He's been so much less efficient on the perimeter in his career than in the slot. Tony's been playing the slot, obviously, in his absence. But, like, I don't know who they're going to play in the slot. And, like, that's kind of important because, like, they're not going to have Ramsey shadow anybody in this game, right? But, like, and he's not really been shadowing anyway. But, like, whoever can see the less side of Ramsey or can play in the slot more is probably the better bet here. But again, maybe you just don't play any of them, right? Tony might be popular even at 5,600. Shepard's 5K, and who knows if Daniel Jones is going to play. Like, it's kind of tricky right now.
I don't play banged up Sterling Shepard because of how easy, especially like a hamstring thing, it could re-aggravate it. He's a guy that I was high on at the beginning of the season because he was getting a massive workload and no one wanted to play him. Kadarius Tony, you know, I know that draft Twitter hated him.
And I got roasted on this podcast by Derek Brown and Pat Kareen for my love for Tony in the offseason. So I'm feeling good right now.
I talked up Tony all offseason, too, about how he was one of the best ball picks because we're talking about drafting guys like Josh Palmer, who's the wide receiver 4 and like a 5th-round pick for the Chargers, over Kadarius Tony, who was the top 25 pick. Right. And like what he does doesn't necessarily pop in the box score, but people's whole argument was like, could he be this year's Brandon Ayuk? And sometimes with these rookie receivers, you want to, like, he became popular last week. He didn't start we didn't anticipate him being popular. He really gained a lot of steam on Sunday. But I think 5,600 will scare people off. I really like him as the run back, him or Booker. That'll probably be my player pool for the run back of Rams onslaught. I won't do two. I will do one.
Do you think again, it doesn't really matter. It's not. I'm just curious how they're going to use these guys because obviously, if it's Galladay, Slayton, and Shepard, you know Shepard's playing the slot, but it's not the case obviously anymore. Do you think it's Shepard in the slot or Tony, or is it kind of they mix both of them?
I think they'll move him around.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree. Like Booker too. Like Booker is going to get the carries, right? But like he is game script independent. Like he's going to get, especially with the receivers banged up, he's gonna walk into 3 to 5 targets.
Yeah, he's going to walk into 3 or 5 targets. And he's going to be on the field 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Anything else from this game?
No.
All right, we did just get some news. Cincinnati at Detroit. So Joe Mixon was limited in practice on Wednesday. A report came out about 10 minutes ago that he was not practicing on Thursday. So hopefully it's not a setback, but it's something we need to keep an eye on because Samaje Perine is on the reserve COVID list as well. So, and he had a positive test on Monday.
You talk about the chalk of the slate. It'll be Chris Evans if Mixon's out.
Yeah. 4K, really talented pass catcher against Detroit. Again, another situation where the team just doesn't have anybody else to put in at running back. And Chris Evans is a guy they mix in anyway, right? Because they do like him in pass. Like Joe Mixon was already losing passing down snaps to Chris Evans and Samaje Perine. So, again, like late week DNPs, especially for somebody that was limited in the week before with an injury, it's kind of alarming for Mixon. Again, we'll see, but like I said, I'm happy that we started recording this when we did, because if we recorded at 1 or 2 o'clock, we would have missed all this news. But yeah, I mean, clearly you alluded to it before the podcast and on Twitter, we are not short on questionable tags and injuries on the slate, and it's kind of getting it's kind of getting even more ridiculous.
Yeah, it and that's the NFL at this point of the year. They've just played enough games that guys are banged up. That's just kind of how it works, right? And so these podcasts are so good to give you like an oversight of the slate, give you an understanding, really start to prepare your mind for how to think on it. But you have to be able to adjust. Because like if you listen to this podcast on Thursday, right after it comes out, right, and then you set your lineups and then you don't look back till Sunday, maybe at noon to do a little tinkering, you've probably lost. There's, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's too much stuff that comes out. Again, this podcast is an incredible, helpful start to the whole process.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, we publish this and upload it on Thursday, but that still doesn't mean it's not more of a first look because the NFL is a full week thing. It's not like you upload it on Monday morning for a Monday night NBA slate and you can just kind of go from there. Like, there's even from Thursday to Sunday, we're clearly seeing so much is going to change. So with the Bengals, like if Mixon doesn't play and Samaje Perine's not playing, I mean, do you think Evans would be like good chalk? Would you be able?
The Lions defense is so bad.
Yeah, they are. They're real bad.
And he would play 70% of the snaps to get the pass game work.
And the Bengals have been, it's been a little bit more different. It's been a little bit different since Burrow's looked a lot better and more comfortable, but they've been a slow paced team and they've been running the ball on early downs a lot more than we would have thought going into the season. So Chris Evans, 4K would present a ton of value, obviously, in a good spot. And then you have the three receivers, right? Jamar Chase has been absolutely ridiculous this year. Leads the NFL in deep targets. He's catching like half of them. He's been more than half of them. He's awesome. 6,700. Tyler Boyd's 5,400. And T. Higgins is 5,300. And then Burrow has also been a lot better lately. He's got the throat thing. He's going to play. He can't even talk right now, they're saying, which is terrifying. What are your thoughts on the Bengals passing game?
Yeah, I mean, the Lions give up more yards per attempt per play than any quarterback in the NFL averages. So think about how amazing we've seen quarterback play this year, from Josh Allen to Justin Herbert to Dak Prescott to Kyler Murray to Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady to Lamar Jackson. If I left out your favorite quarterback, I apologize. Matthew Stafford, that's the MVP candidates right there. They're giving up more yards per attempt than any of those quarterbacks average. Basically, you are the best quarterback in the league if you play the Lions. It's absurd. And they stink against the deep ball. And Jamar Chase gets more deep targets than anybody else.
Yeah, what does he have? 50% of the air yards, the highest rate in the NFL, according to our data on the site.
Like he's due for major regression, too. Like, his touchdown regression is coming.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that if he becomes uber popular, I won't play, and I'll pivot to T. Higgins.
Yeah, I like Higgins. I love Higgins, especially when he's the third most expensive of the three receivers, because he gets, like, this is how I view it. Like, Chase gets the deep targets, Boyd gets the intermediate, and I think Higgins gets, like, some of the deep, not as much as Chase, but he gets a lot of the end zone targets, too. And at 5,300,
I think there's potential. He scored double-digit target points in every single game, right? He was outpacing Chase in targets to start the year too. And now it's his second game back. I mean, Burrow's going to be an interesting guy in general. What's he priced at?
6,300.
Yeah, that's too cheap for a player. Like, he's got a real shot at 300 yards and three touchdowns against the
Lions. I agree. Especially if they decide to
get in the dome.
Yeah, and especially if they decide to just not run the ball as much because they might not have their top two running backs on the depth chart in this game. It's very possible. Let's talk about DeAndre Swift on the other side, because I'm getting the vibe that you like him as much as I do this week. DraftKings just kind of refuses to price this guy up, which is weird because, yeah, he's had like up and down games, right? He's been good and bad and good and bad. But on this site, when you're talking about a player that leads all running backs in receptions with 29 and is second among all running backs in both routes and targets with 34 targets and 136 pass routes, I mean, 6,300 for him in this spot is way too cheap. The Bengals just gave up 8 catches and a touchdown combined to the Packers running backs last week. Right now, they're giving up the second most receptions at 8 per game and the second most targets at 2.2 per game to opposing running backs. Like, this is an easy play for me for DeAndre Swift. He's honestly one of my favorite plays the entire slate.
He's too cheap. I mean, I'm not really – you laid out the entire argument. He's too cheap. And I talk about snaps and weighted opportunity. Why he doesn't have the snap share that you look for, his weighted opportunity scores through the roof because of his role in the passing game.
Gets the most valuable touches you can find. He gets them.
Yep. The other line that I'm really interested in this game is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes. Yes. This is the other receiver that I was super high on compared to everybody else in the draft process. So I'm pumped.
Back-to-back 8 target games, and I think one of the things you really want to learn about rookies, and we talk about this in best ball all the time, and it's amazing how everyone knows it and then everyone forgets it. Rookies tend to take longer to come along as wide receivers, right? They tend to have much bigger second halves than first halves. And you start to get signs that, okay, their snaps are going up, their targets are going up, their quarterbacks are trusting them more. It's coming soon. Amon-Ra St. Brown, back-to-back 8 target games. 4,200. Like, you could get a nice cheap game stack in here with Chase, Burrow, Higgins, run it back with Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I'm stacking this game 100%.
Yeah, this will be Burrow will likely be one of my 5 quarterbacks.
Yeah, so I tweeted yesterday, like, everybody, like, waiver wire, and we did it too, like waiver wire articles, podcasts, everything. Everybody's talking about Kadarius Toney, and of course you should. But I said, like, don't forget about Amon-Ra, right? Like you said, 8 targets in back-to-back games. Quintez Cephus, broken collarbone, he's out for the year. Tyrell Williams, not there. Amon-Ra is the perfect fit for this offense because he's like an 81% slot guy. He's a guy that's really good in the intermediate routes, gets open quickly, suddenly. And Jared Goff is top 5 in both short targets and targets or passes or attempts behind the line of scrimmage. Now, if he's in the slot 80% of the time, he's going to see Mike Hilton, who is allowing the most yards, receptions, and targets in slot coverage this season. So, yeah, Amon-Ra, Darnell Mooney, we talked about. They are the value receivers for me on the slate right now.
And Van Jefferson's another one, but that's exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about volume guys that are cheap that people won't play in game stacks. And then the other cheap guys will be one off in game. But like Van Jefferson is the perfect guy where you don't want to, if you're going to run 20 Matthew Stafford teams, right? You don't want to run 20 Matthew Stafford teams with just Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, and Robert Woods. You want to get some Van Jefferson in there. Like, yeah, and I'm sorry to keep going back to that, but I'm just talking about like
mindset. I think it's really good point though, because like especially on a team like the Rams, like yes, are the Rams going to score a lot of points? Of course, most likely, unless they just completely fall on their faces, they're going to score a lot of points. But like Robert Woods, as much as I love Robert Woods, and yeah, he finally had the breakout game last week. Robert Woods is not a touchdown scorer historically in his career. So if Matthew Stafford throws for 330 and 4, it's a very high chance that Van Jefferson gets in the end zone. He's still playing a lot of snaps, and like you said, he's getting like 4 to 6 targets a game, and he's 3,400.
Yup. Like, sometimes we overcomplicate DFS, right? In terms of like, yes, we want to know about all the players and all that kind of stuff, but the game theory and understanding that is he going to go off guaranteed? No, like, he's not Davante Adams, right? But he's 3,400 with a big play role in an offense with a 30 implied point team total. With no ownership, and you want to play Matthew Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the entire argument, and that's why the optimizers are so helpful. Because you can wait that I want a lot of Cooper Kupp, I want a lot of Robert Woods, right? But you want to make sure you sprinkle some guys in there so that even when you might really like Kupp and ends up going to Jefferson, you still have way more than the field that can shoot up the board if you get Matthew Stafford.
Exactly. And you look at this team, right? Cooper Kupp's getting his. He's getting, you know, at worst 8 to 9 targets. And that's at worst.
Even happened yet this year, right? Right.
Woods will get his targets. But other than that, like, Higbee's not getting like 8 targets a game. He's playing a lot, but he's not getting targets. And like you said, DeSean Jackson's not a full-time player. He'll get 2 targets maybe. Like Van Jefferson, I know the Rams have been running the ball a lot, but like, yeah, like, clearly, we like Van Jefferson a lot here, but I think those are the 3 value receivers right now. We talked about Van Jefferson, Darnell Mooney, and then Amon-Ra from this game, who I love. I'm excited to play him. I'm playing him in season long in some leagues that I have him because I think I've always thought he was a talented player. Now the role has changed for him to be, and they're throwing it like Swift's still getting his targets, but they've been throwing to the receivers a lot more the last couple weeks, and Hockenson's still banged up. Like, this is a great spot for Amon-Ra. Are you just not playing Hockenson right now? He's been bad. He's still hurt. Like, I know he was practiced today, but like, he's not 100%. He has not been good lately.
Probably not.
Okay. All right, let's move. I was just asking. I'm not playing him either.
No, I mean, sometimes that's the answer, right? Just yeah. No. You want, because no. You have to eliminate some people from the pool, right? So I guess the maybe I'll get a little Hawkinson because if I really heavily game stack this. But probably not because I won't game stack it with Jared Goff.
Right. All right, let's move on to maybe the game of the week for the NFL, right? Chargers at the Baltimore Ravens. This game is interesting, obviously, for the reasons that you have two of the top three MVP candidates going at it, two really good teams. But for me, looking at this matchup, it's like, if this were the 2020 Baltimore Ravens, this would be an incredible spot, right? Because the Chargers cannot stop the run. They're giving up a ton of production on the ground. But the Ravens, unless it's Lamar Jackson, they cannot run the football right now. And they're starting to abandon it more, which is fun because Lamar Jackson's awesome. What do you make of this game? Obviously, Lamar's been incredible. Marquise Hollywood Brown also has been incredible, but the Chargers have been very good against wide receivers this season. And then Mark Andrews coming off that massive game. If Rashad Bateman isn't activated and doesn't play, like Watkins might not play. This offense, as concentrated as it was on Monday night, it's going to be super concentrated again between Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Andrews is going to be popular for good reason, right? 5,200, a game that I want to stack up. You know, you mentioned they're good against wide receivers and they're bad against the run, but I think they're intentionally bad against the run. Like when you listen to Brandon Staley talk, he's very, very clear he understands analytics. I mean, I was talking to Brooke Cromer's father before one of the FTN happy hours, and he was the offensive line coach for the Rams last year, and he was telling me stories about Brandon Staley, and he's like, that guy knows every data point there is to know and studies them religiously.
That's awesome.
Like, everything is analytics for the Chargers. That's why you see them go for, you know, 4th and 2 on their own 28-yard line, right?
Or
like
fourth and seven from the other team's 30-yard line. They don't care.
What, like, they did against the Chiefs, right? Like,
right.
Why he threw that one fade to Mike Williams, I don't know. Someone who had a lot of Mike Williams that week, Brandon Staley, you continue to be my guy. So it'll be interesting if they dare the Chiefs, the Ravens, to run on them. And I think they will. But they are very good at keeping things in front of them, right? They play that too high shell, and they dare you to beat them consistently. And frankly, Lamar's awesome. He just had the best game of his career. The Ravens, I think, are overrated. They're not a real 4-1 team. They should
agree,
be 2-3, right?
They should have lost to the Lions, and they should have lost to the Chiefs, because if Clyde doesn't fumble, they lose that game. So I agree with
you. Well, then, shoot, they could easily be...
Their one win was against, and then they lost to the Raiders week one. So, yeah, their one win was against
Denver. They could have lost to the Colts, right? The Colts missed a game-winning 40-yard field goal.
Yep, and then the Lions situation in that game, and then Clyde fumbled against when they played the Chiefs. So,
yeah,
it's crazy.
So, it's a really interesting matchup. Now, I think the Ravens' defense stinks.
Dude, they can't tackle.
They can't tackle, and they can't cover. And that is a bad combination against just, like, the Chargers are the last couple weeks, basically, and it was going into the Chiefs game. It was like the regression is coming when the first few weeks of the season they ran more plays in the opponent's red zone. It was like 24.2% than any other team in football. Like, we are, like, Justin Herbert's going to have multiple 300-plus yard, 4 passing touchdown games.
Mm-hmm. Especially when your team, when your head coach is just, like, playing for touchdowns. So, like, and their kicker's been terrible. So they get inside the 20-yard line, it's 4th and, like, I don't even want to say 4th and short. Like, if it's 4th and 6 or less, they're probably just going to go for it. So it's like, yep. He's going to get – and, like, that's kind of something we need to start taking into consideration with the Chargers. Like, these guys are going to get more possessions than some other teams, especially if they play facet games, because they're getting – like, even 4th downs aren't automatic punts for this team, which is awesome.
Yeah. No, I want Justin Herbert, Austin Ekeler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Jared Cook. I'm not playing all of them on one team, just to be clear.
Right.
But this game will be one of my focus, like, because I want Lamar, because I think he's got a good chance to get 100 rushing yards in this game.
I agree.
To your point. Because they're gonna try to force him into, like, older Lamar, where he runs more than takes those shots downfield. Because he's been incredibly efficient downfield. Him and Hollywood Brown, other than those couple drops against the Lions, have been absurd. But I think the Chargers are gonna do everything they can to take that away, force them underneath, which leads to the Mark Andrews game. And the Chargers, man, like, Mike Williams is 3% in tournaments last week.
Yeah.
This was a guy that was crushed everybody, then let us down on Monday Night Football in a game, by the way, where Justin Herbert missed him down the sideline for what would have been a 75-yard touchdown pass. And everyone abandoned him. Now he's 8,100. He's more expensive this week than Devontae Adams was last week. Like, he is Scott. He had 16 targets last week. That is absurd. But Keenan Allen has not seen less than 8 targets in a game this year, and he just hasn't hit his ceiling yet. But it's coming at some point.
Yeah, right? Keenan Allen is like the prototypical buy low, because like he hasn't even been that bad. It's just Mike Williams has been. It's just like Mike Williams. It's not like Mike Williams' huge games have been like 6 for 100 a touchdown. They've been what they were last week. Those have been his huge games. So it's like you said, Keenan Allen's still getting it. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams have like 50% of this team's targets. So it's like, you want to talk about a concentrated offense. Jalen Guyton just runs routes to have fun. And then Jared Cook and Parham get occasional targets, but like they're not consistent. Like this offense is so concentrated.
Cook had the big game against Oakland, right? Because Oakland really tried to take away the receivers. And I think that's one of the great things about the Chargers, is that whatever you try to take away, they'll just kill you with someone.
Yeah, you take away the receivers and they have the best, or what, the second or third best pass catcher running back in the NFL. And maybe just...
I think them and the Bills were the two best teams in the AFC. The Bills are better than the Chargers right now. But would I not want to play Justin Herbert.
I don't... This dude. Yeah, man. I don't want to play... I wouldn't want to play either of those teams.
Like, no, I mean, because they both embrace analytics.
Right.
They both
you have Daboll and you have Staley. Yeah. And it's... yeah, man. Like... they're really good, yeah. But
I don't know whose weapons are better, to be honest.
I think the Chargers are, just because Keenan, like, Diggs is better than anybody on either team at receiver, but Mike Williams, like, Sanders is playing great, but Mike Williams, now that he's healthy and in a role where he can thrive, is better than all those receivers on Buffalo.
Cole Beasley's significantly better than Guyton.
That's fair, but Eckler's better than Moss and Singletary combined, so it's tough. Knox has been the factor, though. Knox has been awesome.
Dawson Knox is this year's Robert Tonyan, where he's going to get overdrafted, yeah. And then next year catch like 12 passes.
But with Keenan Allen, like, 6,400 is so intriguing because
he's priced at his floor.
Like, right, exactly. He's not going to hurt your lineup at 6,400. If he, like, you think he's going to do worse than what he did last game, 6 for 75? Like, that's Keenan Allen in his sleep. He's still been over 100 yards in 2 of the 5 games.
Yep.
Like, I love Keenan Allen here. Mike Williams, if I'm not stacking this game, scares me a little bit, just because of the sticker shock, right? But he's been that dude.
I wonder if the sticker shock keeps his price down, because this is one of the things I talk about all the time. I love when, like, if Mike Williams was 7,900, he'd be very popular.
Yeah.
But then he goes, he crosses.
It's like, so true, though.
The marketing philosophy of pricing something at $99.99 instead of $100, it's the same thing.
It's so true.
But it messes with us. And you see it every single week. Like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire against the Chargers was uber chalk at 4,800.
Yeah, he's 40. Yeah.
Then he crushes, then plays the Eagles, who have the same philosophy the Chargers have. They're just nowhere near as good, right? I dare you to run. He was 5,300, still uber cheap, and nobody played him.
It's so true.
It was the same thing, but like you said, it's a stick. Mike Williams is 80. Wait, I just paid $7,900 for Davante Adams last week. You want me to pay $8,100 for Mike Williams?
It's true.
Yes, though. I do. Like, but that goes back to your point. If I'm game stacking this,
yeah.
If you are running more than one team, you should have exposure to this game. And frankly, if you're running one team, I'd probably stack this game.
For sure. I mean. It's two really concentrated offenses. The Chargers have been amazing. Baltimore's throwing more than they have in the past, you know, handful of years. Lamar's playing at an MVP level. And like I said, like Hollywood, like how many combined targets do Hollywood, Andrews, and then Keenan Allen and Mike Williams get in this game? Like 50? Like and they're going to get so many
you're
targets.
You're joking, but like it's
I'm not joking. Like 50
it's
seems
40
like
it's, at least.
No, well, if you add Eckler, it's definitely 50. They're all in play. I don't think we need to.
You had Eckler, it might be 60. Yeah. That is absurd. Like,
yeah.
Because the Ravens don't throw the ball to the running backs. So what are we going to talk about? Is it Devin Duvernay day?
Absolutely not.
I'm aware it's not, but I'm saying, like, he's not getting 10 targets. I do think Hollywood Brown's, I'm going to have exposure to him in MME. He's probably not going to make my three max.
He's way too cheap, too, by the way.
He is, because
59. Yeah. They played on Monday night, I guess, too. So, but
yeah, but he's going to be uber chalk, would be my guess.
Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, all these guys, they're in play. I guess the one thing you kind of alluded to Jared Cook earlier, if you want to talk about him, then we'll get out of this game.
Ravens stink against covering tight ends, right? The only one
they have played like the best of the best, and then they played.
But Mo Ali Cox had a good game against them. Like, he didn't do anything crazy.
Again, I repeat, they have played the best of the best.
The funniest thing is, like, if you look athletically, Jared Cook's numbers are off the charts.
They always are.
I will have some of him because he's 3,200. He's cheap exposure to a game stack, and if he scores a touchdown, he can outscore Ricky Seals-Jones.
Very fair. All right, last of the 1 o'clock games, Minnesota at Carolina. Dalvin Cook, we got to see on him. I think he practiced today, but like he said he wants to play even if he's not 100%, but the Vikings aren't about that, especially because Minnesota's on a bye in week 7. So if he's not 100%, he's not playing. And then Thielen and Jefferson have been a little bit banged up in practice. I think they're still going to play.
And then Jefferson's McCaffrey. Home road splits are absurd. Like, in... He now averages over 115 yards per game at home when he's been a full-time player. So I'm eliminating the first game of his career where he ran like 13 yards. On the road, he averages 56 yards per game. And then if you make it indoor versus outdoor, he averages over 100 yards per game indoors and less than 50 yards outdoors.
He should have went absolutely crazy last week, and then they just went away from him.
He had 100 yards in the first half.
I know. He should have went absolutely crazy. He's so good. Like, again, I bring this up every time I talk about Justin Jefferson, but, like, how many times do you see a trade like that happen where it's win-win for both teams? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you talked about two of the top 10 receivers in football right now, it's Justin Jefferson and Stephon Diggs.
Absolutely, without question.
And also, the joke of the situation is the Eagles drafted Jalen Reagor for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles fans watching Seattle and Minnesota for the next 10 years are going to hate everything between Metcalf and Jefferson. It's not
cool. They got Reagor and JJ Arcega-Whiteside, where you have to say his name like you have a lisp.
But on this game, the running backs, right? I mean, we got to see what happens. Madison at 6,200, still too cheap if Cook's out. He's getting 30 touches in his sleep. He had 7 catches on 7 targets last game. I know Carolina's been really good up front against the run. But with that usage and the receiving game usage, it does not matter. McCaffrey sounded like he had a chance to play last week and they kept him out. Then he practices on Wednesday looking good. Did not practice Thursday. Not good. What do you think? I mean, Chuba Hubbard actually, remember in that first start against Dallas, his routes were not great. Rodney Smith was playing more. He's not even, they sent him down to the practice squad, I believe, the other day. So like Chuba now is running more routes. He had 30 touches last week or 29 touches last week. How do we rank these running backs in terms of Madison and Chuba Hubbard if McCaffrey and Cook are out again?
Madison significantly ahead of him.
Definitely. I meant just in terms of in regards to the slate.
Yeah, I think the issue for me is that with Hubbard, I'd probably rather play Swift.
100%.
I think Hubbard had an amazing matchup against the Eagles. Like, this is what I was just saying with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I think this will come out before the game tonight. So free bet, Leonard Fournette over 62.5 yards. No team has been run on more this year than the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, they just dare you to run, and then teams run, and then the Eagles are like, whoops. So he was in a dream spot last week. The one guy I have interest, if Madison starts, if Cook's out, you have to play Madison. His workload is just too great. I will go back to DJ Moore this week.
Yes. So I'm glad you're on this podcast because you love DJ Moore. I love DJ Moore. And it's been DJ Moore season. And oh my goodness, the Vikings corners are bad. We thought they'd be better. Turns out they're still bad. Pat P, I love you.
Turns out the Vikings are not a top 5 defense for all of us.
DJ Moore, yeah. But he's one of my favorite plays the entire slate. So.
Yeah, he had an off game last week, but he still saw 7 targets. We know he's one of the biggest play threats. Like, the whole, he doesn't score touchdowns. Shut up. Yes, he does. And he has a great, you know, he
had
great
I didn't watch last week, but the first game McCaffrey was out against Dallas, he played in the backfield a lot. Not a lot.
He played in the backfield last week, too.
They actually
had a couple plays They had a couple plays near the goal line where they tried. He was the design first read.
I love that.
Getting the end zone. So like Moore is a Moore Madison move on probably for me. Now I don't even look at defense to be honest until the end of the week. Good Lord, the Rams are 4,700. Jesus, don't play them. You can't play a defense at 4,700. The Panthers at 2,900 are still more expensive than I like to use, like, ever.
Seriously.
The Panthers are interesting to me. Their defense, they should have destroyed the Eagles. I don't even know how they lost that game. But their defense is filled with playmakers.
Well, Darnold threw three picks, I think.
Yeah, well, that's how they lost the game. But, like, still, they still look like they were in control. Yeah.
I might sprinkle in Robbie Anderson. They're making a concerted effort to get him the ball. He's just not doing anything with it. But secondary receivers especially have crushed Minnesota, and he's got 18 targets the last 2 weeks. I don't hate him in tournaments. I think if he's going to have a huge to be fair, it should have happened against Dallas or Houston or Philly. But I actually don't hate him at 4,800.
My biggest issue with him is that I'm not game stacking the game.
Right, so you're straight up preferring DJ Moore, because why wouldn't you?
Right. So obviously it's a way different price range. Guys like that tend to not make my builds because they're not the one-off in the game I want to stack. Because this game's got a really good chance to be slow.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't love this game.
Yeah, we can move on. I'm not playing Thielen. If he doesn't score, he's getting you like 38 yards, and he's banged up right now. I just don't see it. And is Gilmore eligible to play after this week for Carolina?
Yeah, because he was on pop, right? So it's 6 weeks.
Yeah, so after this week. Okay. Still, though, I don't want to play Thielen. Jefferson's fine. He's awesome. He's got the upside, obviously.
I don't know how you play Jefferson over Cooper Kupp.
Or Tyreek Hill if Tyreek's active.
Yes.
So, all right. 4 o'clock games. We have three of them, starting with Arizona at Cleveland. The Browns running backs are suddenly banged up. Nick Chubb with a calf didn't practice on Wednesday or Thursday. And then Kareem Hunt with a wrist and a knee was seen working out on the side. They're going to list him as a non-participant in practice too. So this bears watching, because if one of these running backs doesn't play, it's wheels up for whoever is active. If they both play, Kareem Hunt's been a top 7 fantasy running back this season, been super efficient. He's scored in every game but one. He's getting, you know, 4 to 7 targets a game. You can make the case he might even be a little bit too cheap too. But what do you make of this game? Again, this is the one game you mentioned. It does look like there could be some wind here. It's Thursday. I'm not using that in my analysis right now, but Elliot made a good point, and I agree. Like, if it gets to that over 20 mile per hour wind mark, that's when you maybe start to wheel off some players. For me, though, Arizona, like, Kyler's got some concerns other than that, though. No Rodney Hudson for this game. They're starting center. He's got the shoulder injury, which is not a major injury, but we saw the splits for him last year when he had a shoulder injury on his throwing arm. That's what he has right now. So a little bit concerned about Kyler going into this game. But Cleveland, I mean, if they play like they did last week against Herbert and company, then Kyler might be the number one scoring quarterback on the slate.
Yeah. Is Kyler's shoulder injury a concern? It is because of last year's splits. However, it's not the same injury as last year either, right? So if Kyler becomes like a sub 3% guy, this Browns defense has been not good. Like, Tyrod Taylor carved them up. Patrick Mahomes carved them up. And Justin Herbert carved them up.
They've also given up a rushing touchdown to all three of those quarterbacks you just mentioned.
Yes. So I would have interest in Kyler. We'll see how it all goes. If it's a shoulder injury plus like 25 mile per hour wins, I won't. Nick Chubb is a guy that makes top 10 under 10 on FTN Daily every single week.
Nobody wants to play Nick Chubb ever. Like last week he was easy for me because like it was just the dream matchup, right? You talk about
it was 6,700 at 3% ownership.
Right. Offensive line, defensive line matchups. It was perfect from last week. But still nobody wanted to play him.
And since Baker tore his labrum, he's gotten 20 or more carries in every single game. And in his career, when he sees 20 or more touches, he averages over 100 yards and a full touchdown per game. Like, Nick Chubb is a guy where I legitimately don't care what team they play. Because their offensive line is better than your defensive line.
Because they have Wyatt Teller.
Well, yes. I wasn't even going to say it. I was going to see if
you imagine if the Bills held on to him, by the way?
Yeah, that was a big whoopsie. That he was like, okay, and then he went to Cleveland, and it's like, holy mother of God, this man is Thor. We actually just dropped a new tool on FTN Daily. Well, it's on all three sites, but I'm looking at it on FTN Daily right now. It's called the NFL Offensive Efficiency Tool, and it's by Alex Blickle. And he has something called POF, which is projected open field yards. So he has projected projected yards per passing attempt, projected line yards created per rush, projected open field yards, and projected pace of the game. And the most projected open field yards on the entire slate are the Browns versus the Cardinals. So if one of these running backs are out, the other one, as much of them as I can. If they both play, I still want action to both of these guys. And if it becomes a win game, then there's a chance that Nick Chubb gets 25 carries. So yeah. On the other side of the ball, Kyler's a guy that I'll have a lot of interest in. Hopkins just has not shown that ceiling, but if I play Kyler, yeah. I have to mix and match.
That's the problem, right? Like, if you play Kyler, you feel like you have to stack him with Hopkins, and like, it's obviously not a dumb idea, but he has not seen that 30% target share. He saw a season high in target share last week. He hasn't practiced this week with an illness. I expect him to be fine. He's done this in the past where he doesn't practice all week and still plays, but, Cleveland has struggled against number one receivers this year, for what it's worth. And if you want to call Mike Williams the number one in Los Angeles, whatever, but he just went off against them, obviously. Brandon Cooks went off against them a couple weeks ago, or was it week two? So, like, their secondary is clearly the weak point of this team. Jefferson, I think, went off against them a couple weeks ago, too. Like, Hopkins could be very sneaky. Like, that stack could be sneaky as well. But it's a situation where you really don't want to make that decision on Thursday. You obviously don't want to fully make any decision on Thursday, but especially in this game, I think.
Yep. By the way, the two fastest projected pace games on the entire week are not on the main slate. We were talking about that beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
This game actually has a decent pace. It's kind of slow. But to your point on Kyler and Hopkins and everybody else, like, Kyler's a guy that, and this is why you build lineups Saturday night, Sunday morning. You want to see all the reports. You want to understand the wind. If he's healthy and good to go, I will want some DeAndre Hopkins. We'll want some Christian Kirk. We'll want some Rondale Moore.
I was gonna talk about Rondale because he played a season 9 snaps last week. He ran more routes than Christian Kirk, and it was in a game where Max Williams, who's been a very featured part of their offense, went down. He's done for the year. Do we see more four wide from the Cardinals? If that's the case, I mean, Rondale was making, like, that catch Rondale made last week. I mean, how do you watch that and just say, all right, you're playing like a lot of snaps and we want you to touch the ball a lot? And he does get the ball when he's on the field, but I think he could be very interesting going forward. Obviously, he's going to be interesting going forward, but starting this week, they could go a lot more four wide than they have been. And I think they actually ran a season high in four wide in their last game.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that if there are wind issues, or Kyler does have a shoulder issue and they can't mm-hmm. throw it as much down the field, who's the most dangerous guy with the ball in their hands on the team?
Right.
And what were we just talking about with Kadarius Toney and Amon-Ra St. Brown? You want to see the trends of the snaps going up because they love rookies, but they want to see them more involved, or they want to get them more comfortable. And no Max Williams. I think Rondale Moore at 4,600. Like, I want to see what his projected ownership is, but if it's sub 10%, I will tell you right now he will be in that article.
I don't do the roster percentage stuff, but I would be willing 10%. To bet he'll be under that.
Yes, he will probably be very strongly.
5%. I actually really like Rondale. The more I think about it, the more I talk myself into it. Everything's trending up: snaps, four wide sets, routes, and he's done is make plays. Like, he's a yard short of a touchdown in that game too. I think they gave him like an end around. And he went like 26 yards, stepped out of bounds at the one. Like, he's awesome. I think he's very interesting, too. I would put him in that range as well. We mentioned those three value receivers, and I think Rondale has immense upside. We've seen it already. Anybody else in this game? Like, Odell Beckham's 5,100, and I kind of don't want to play him still. Like, for whatever reason, when he and Baker play together, just not much happens. The Minnesota game was a complete joke. He should have been like the best receiver on the slate in that game. But Baker was awful. Baker still got the shoulder injury. They're going to run the football. I don't know, man. Odell is. I just don't play Odell, really.
Yeah, Odell was a guy on one of my teams that I had a chance to take down the slant with last week, and the Browns scored 42 points, and Baker threw for 300 yards, and Odell did nothing. So, regretted that one. But I will have some Odell if I stack this game up. This will be a win decision for me.
Okay.
But Odell's usage prior to last week, I mean, he was number two in all of air yards his first two games, right? Behind.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the Minnesota game, he had about 612 of them, and none of them were realized because Baker.
Well, even the game before that, though, he still had like 90 something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when he wasn't a full time player. So if he's low owned, I'll have a little bit of him, but he won't. He would be game stack. He would be MME only.
Okay, let's go to Vegas at the Denver Broncos. All right, man, Elliot, talk about Javonte Williams because I'm on board.
Yep, this is one of the biggest advantages for projected open field yards. Javonte Williams has been a top five back in terms of efficiency. We're seeing his volume increase. We've seen his carries be the highest in games they win. They're 3.5-point home favorites going up against the Raiders team that obviously is entire week. Leads to them focusing a lot more on off-field stuff than on-field stuff. The Broncos are significantly better at home. That home field advantage with the altitude is legit, especially against a guy with Javonte Williams where you're a little tired. It makes it way harder to tackle him. He's coming, man. Like, why they give Melvin Gordon the ball still, I don't know. It's not that Melvin Gordon's not good. It's just that Javonte Williams is the man.
Yeah.
5K, like, there's going to be a game before everyone realizes it where he gets 18 or 19 touches and goes for 100
this,
yards.
This is the perfect week to get on that, too, because look how many running backs we mentioned in that range and potentially cheaper because we got news, right? You go from the bottom, right? Chris Evans could be in play. Then there's Darrell Williams at 49. Khalil Herbert if Damian Williams doesn't play. Devontae Booker in that range. Like, Javonte Williams, everybody's going to be upset that they're – because it's not like it's like 60-40 in favor of Williams. It is legitimately 50-50 split between these two. Melvin Gordon has been limited and or out of practice, at least in some capacity, every single week the last like 3 weeks, and it happened again this week. Javonte, like, coming out of North Carolina was like he broke the tackle breaking efficiency metrics at PFF, and this year he's guess who has more missed tackles for us than Javonte Williams. It shouldn't surprise you. It's been the two most dominant players in that category for years now. It's Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb. Those are the only two players. Like, it's not even like, he's doing what we expected him to do, and this is a great matchup. And just going off on a tangent real quick, because we talked about this in the trade episode, and if you're playing season-long leagues and you're listening to this, go trade for him. His schedule is ridiculous coming up. I love Javonte here at 5K. Even if he only gets those 14, 15 touches, that could be enough in this spot with how good he's playing and how good the matchup is. The Raiders have gotten destroyed in the ground lately. Look at what Herbert and Damian Williams just did against him. Look at what Eckler did against him the week before.
Yeah, I mean, Javonte Williams is my favorite high-stakes team that everyone else is going off except Javonte Williams every week. It's got like Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans.
And that's just going to put it over the top then.
Once Aaron Jones, Dalton Schultz. It's got like three or four other legit superstars. I can't even remember them off the top of my head. But every week, it's just the one point where I'm not blowing everybody else out is RB2. And it's Javonte Williams scoring 10 points every week. And I'm like, sweet Prince, rest easy, because I know you are going to take me over the top at the end. And other than that, though, I don't really want any parts of this game.
I agree. Sutton's getting, he has as many air yards as pretty much anybody in the NFL. He's been super up and down, though. The Raiders secondary's actually done a pretty good job this year. Like you talked about earlier, they're kind of taking away wide receivers. Noah Fant's been a bust, honestly. Like, even without Judy, he's just not been a consistent part of the offense. And then, yeah, like Waller, I'd rather play Andrews on this slate and the other tight ends. Like, he's only $400 less than Kelsey. I don't play Josh Jacobs, so I agree. And by the way, We love Darnell Mooney, right? Allen Robinson did not practice again today, so that's good and bad for us, I feel like.
I want him to play.
Same.
Because if Mooney becomes chalk, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I agree. All right, last game of the slate. Dallas travels to New England to take on the Patriots. Damian Harris was dealing with a rib injury, but he did practice Thursday after not practicing Wednesday. I don't really care. I'm not playing him. Like I mentioned, Dallas... only the Buccaneers are allowing fewer percentage of yards allowed on the ground than Dallas. Not for the same reasons. It's because Dallas is getting ahead in all these games, so you're not really running on Dallas. Dallas, though, is for a lot of reasons. They're like one of the most interesting teams in the NFL, right? They're obviously really good. Is their defense good? I don't know. They're opportunistic. They turn the ball over, but they get up a ton of yards per play and yards. But like, because they're taking away the ball and they're playing better defense than we thought, I mean, Dak Prescott has two games over 30 pass attempts this year. They're bottom five in neutral script pass rate. And as a result, you're seeing, especially with Dalton Schultz as involved as he's been, you're seeing a lot of like 5 to 7 target games from CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper.
Yeah, and Cooper historically has been much better at home than he has been on the road. Dak's play volume hasn't been there. Zeke's has. The thing is, Dallas has also been so efficient on offense that they haven't needed the play volume.
Yeah.
And to your point, like, the Cowboys defense is exactly what it needs to be. It doesn't need to be crazy. They need to be opportunistic, right? Like, Diggs is a guy that Jacoby Myers can beat some. But if you test Diggs enough, his ball skills are crazy.
Dude, did you see, like, some of the stuff? Like, he's, like, they're having him in, like, cover two zones, and he's just completely abandoning the zone to make plays on the ball, and he's making those plays. It's ridiculous. Like, he's literally leaving his assignments to turn the ball over. Like, it's
Troy Polamalu-esque, where, like, he almost is his... It's the Steelers started being like, all right, we're calling plays for 10 people, and Troy, whatever you feel is happening, just go do right. that.
It's fun to watch, though.
It is fun to watch. Jacoby Myers is probably the only Patriot that I would have any interest in, and I don't have a ton of interest in him.
I wrote him up on our value article for FTN Daily, and it was more of a FanDuel play. Yes, I understand he's not exactly a FanDuel play because he doesn't score touchdowns, but like, he's like the wide receiver 30 or so in price over there. He's top 10. And he's getting an insane amount. He's getting like the Michael Pittman usage we talked about. He's getting like that, but a little bit more. Like, he's getting a ton of targets. They're going to be trailing. I agree. I don't hate Myers. The only other player on this team is Hunter Henry, sub 4K. They paid him and Jonnu Smith a ton of money. Turns out only one of them is running routes. Hunter Henry's like 11th in routes run among tight ends. Jonnu Smith is 40th. Like, Jonnu Smith is not even running routes for this team, but Hunter Henry is. He's scored in back-to-back games. He's been pretty good. Dallas can struggle against tight ends. So Henry would be the one, and then Jacoby for me, but I agree. Other than that, you're not playing Mac Jones. I don't think you're playing the running backs. Even if Damian Harris were to somehow sit, you don't feel comfortable about Ramondre Stevenson at 4,500 on this slate with all the running backs we talked about. Same goes for Brandon Bolden, who shouldn't be touching the ball on offense, but James White's out. By the way, sorry about that. James White was, like, your guy, and it was going to happen. He was going to be, like, the best value, and unfortunately, yeah,
he was a last round pick in every right. Yeah. And then you just saw like, well, his usage is insane. It's exactly what we thought it was going to be. He almost took down a tournament for me in week two as well with that game against the Jets. But since he's left, they've also taken more shots downfield, which has helped Jacoby Myers more too. And like, to your point, Jacoby Myers doesn't score touchdowns, but I think this is really important for people to hear. Like, previous touchdowns don't necessarily predict future touchdowns. They're kind of very random events. You want to look at usage. And Jacoby Myers has gotten inside the 5-yard line, tackled inside the 5-yard line multiple times this year.
Happened last week.
He's going to get in the end zone. So I don't hate him.
This is what I wrote about in the article. I literally wrote this in the article. I said, yes, I understand he hasn't scored a touchdown, but what if he does? Because he's getting the catch. No, but like, I was kind of coming off like with a comedic way, but like, seriously, what if he does? Because he's going to have, look at his, like, 8 catches for 70 yards, 9 for 94. What if that's a touchdown on top of that? It's like a top 5 receiver for the week.
Yep.
So I think there's still a lot of potential for him. Again, FanDuel, it doesn't sound like the smartest play. I get it. But I do think there's value there to be had. They're going to be trailing in
this
game. It's
only like 2% on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, then that's why you play him. And especially like if you want to play, say, Zeke and Lamb, you should want to run it back with somebody. And Zeke has been awesome, by the way. Like,
don't have to tell me. He's my number 3 running back all offseason. People said I was crazy.
Like the whole best shape thing, like he legit looks like a different back. He does.
Like we overlook that and we like roll our eyes, but he does look like he's in the best shape.
He has explosiveness again. Like for 2 years, he couldn't get a run over 15 yards. Like he just could not do it. You know, like unless you put a burger 16 yards away, like he wasn't getting more than 15 yards. And then he had a bad game against the Bucs, and everyone panicked. And I was just sitting there on Twitter like, we're really worried about a running back not doing anything against the Bucs? Like, Derrick Henry wouldn't have a good game against the Bucs.
It's very true, especially because, like, you pick one defensive tackle, other than maybe Aaron Donald, maybe this is even true, to tackle Derrick Henry up the middle, it's probably Vita Vea. Like,
yeah. Like, and Ndamukong Suh isn't the pass rusher he used to be.
Right.
But... He's
they don't need him to be when they have. They don't need him to be when they have Shaq Barrett. So,
yeah. But they have Shaq Barrett and they have JPP and Joe Tyron and you know Lavonte David and Devin White. Like they've got the size speed combination that is absurd. But that's it's a different story. But Zeke at 7,100 is too cheap for his
usage. Dude, they don't. That's the other running back. It's DeAndre Swift and Zeke, where they're like, all right, we're not moving your price. For what reason is Zeke not where Dalvin Cook is right now?
There isn't a reason, because their Cowboys offensive line is incredibly dominant. He went up against the Carolina Panthers, who were the number one team in adjusted line yards through the first 3 weeks. And people say, well, yeah, they played the Texans and Jets, but they also played the Saints, who were one of the best offensive lines in football, and they dominated them, right? And then Zeke had 20 carries for 143 yards and a touchdown. He has scored a touchdown in all but one game this year, two multi-touchdown games, has not scored less than 17 points on DraftKings. Yeah, I want some Zeke.
And the Patriots have struggled against the run in the past, definitely last year and a little bit this year too. Leonard Fournette last week on Monday, was that last week?
That was the
Texans game 2 weeks ago. Leonard Fournette got him for a lot. Yeah, Zeke's too cheap. If you were to play a pass catcher from Dallas, would it be CeeDee Lamb? Would it be Dalton Schultz, who's been amazing? I agree, it's probably Lamb, because I think Cooper gets more of J.C. Jackson in this game. If anything, Cooper's definitely not 100% right now either.
No. And the thing about Dalton Schultz is, like, that was one of my guys that I wrote up to draft at the end of the draft, because he's, while Blake Jarwin is Twitter's darling, Schultz has had a better career than Jarwin going into the year. And Dak loves him. He's got six or more targets in all but one game.
Mm-hmm.
He's like Mr. Consistent. The issue is that, am I going to play Dalton Schultz against the Patriots, who have allowed less fantasy points to tight end than any other team in the NFL? Now, that also has to do with the fact that of some of the teams they've played, right? They're not like amazing against the tight end. The Jets, they play the Jets, and the Jets number one.
Yeah, they played the Jets. They played the Bucks without Gronk, because you know Gronk was getting in twice if Gronk played in that game. Like, that's just a fact. They played the Jets, the Texans. Texans don't use their tight ends. Saints don't use their tight ends. Miami, that was the first week, and Gesicki wasn't a full-time player like he is now. So they really haven't played anybody. But
Andrews versus Schultz would be, like, that's a tough sell for Schultz, as much as I like him. But that, honestly, that might be, but I don't necessarily, like, the other thing, like, I don't even hate Dak, to be honest, because Dak hasn't put up the yards, but
touchdown rate is ridiculous for Dak.
Because they're so good. Like, one of the reasons Zeke is also crushing is because their offensive line's elite, and what are you going to do? You're just going to ignore Cooper and Lamb on the outside? And Kellen Moore is an elite play caller.
Dude, I know. It's so fun because Kellen Moore, like, is already an elite play caller, but then they get in a situation like the Eagles game on Monday night where they're playing the safeties back, and you just saw, like, 10 different times Dak checks the play at the line of scrimmage and hands off to Zeke. Like, they're just so well oiled right now. And oh, by the way, like, Michael Gallup's going to be back. Like, they're getting a top 35, 40 receiver in the NFL. Like, they're so good. Like, it's weird, man. It's like, was I even born the last time the Cowboys and Bills were like the two best teams in football, arguably? But it's like the early 90s.
Yeah, I would throw the Bucks in that conversation.
Yeah,
honestly. But yeah, they're two of the top five teams in football, no doubt about it. And the Cowboys are going to score points against anybody. So I always want to make sure I have some form of Cowboys exposure.
For sure. Anything else from this game?
No, that's everything.
All right. 10 games broken down here on the podcast. Elliot, Chris, appreciate it. It was a fun time, man. We talked about a lot. And like I said, I'm just very, very relieved that, and who knows, we might still get more news, but I'm very relieved that we recorded this when we did. This will probably be out before Thursday Night Football, but I want to plug the happy hour, because you're going to be jumping on there very shortly to preview Buccaneers and Eagles, and it's always a good time. You guys are there for about 30 to 40 minutes talking fantasy, talking bets, props, all that great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be me, Brooke Cromer and Ray Garvin. We will talk Bucs Eagles. We'll go spread, total, and then we'll basically talk about every single player and how we feel that they can do in this game. And if you are playing fantasy, you are starting those guys in this game. Like, even Miles Sanders in a terrible matchup on the ground, this is actually probably his best matchup in the air possible. And that's kind of where you want Sanders anyway. So because they abandoned the run so quickly. So, yeah, definitely check out the Fantasy Happy Hour. We'll tweet it out completely free. And, Adam, you know, This is a blast as always. This actually really helps me with my process as well, just talking it all out earlier in the week. And, you know, excited to see what Kyle comes up with in terms of roster percentages and just a fun slate to go a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys are, of course, following all the great content at FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, FTN Bets. Follow Elliot on Twitter at Elliot Crist. And again, make sure you're watching the Happy Hour. Zach Ertz should be a nice game from him. Dallas Goedert out, should be a good game for the Bucks because they are good at football. And we'll be back on Friday here on Fade the Chalk. Best of luck if we don't talk to you for week number 6. Have a good one. For Elliot, I'm Adam. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.